I didn't come up with the line. I think it was Jeff Bezos or somebody. You got to imagine the customers in the room with you. If you really want to make change, it's not about being at the front of the room. It's actually being in the round table. And I wish I could go back to myself then and say, you've got that fundamentally wrong. I think ultimately the goal of technology has to be to enable someone delivering a service to satisfy the needs of a disparate group of people without having to run it 1,000 different ways. Property management is a customer relationship with everyone in your community.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Thought Leaders. I'm Samantha McLean, and today we're talking with someone who has reshaped literally how we think about property management in Australia. Ben White is the co-founder and CEO of Alo, a platform now processing transactions for near on 250,000 users nationwide. Before launching Alo, Ben's had a pretty interesting career. He began as a solicitor at Freehills, moved into strategy at Boston Consulting Group in New York, and later built Ray White's property management division into the largest in the country. Ben's work has culminated in what he calls the third wave of property management, an era where superior investor experience powered by technology will decide who wins. Earlier this year, Ben and I turned that vision of his into a free five-day program, Investor 3.0, meeting the rising expectations in property management. Creating this course showed me firsthand how Ben uses data and systems to amplify, not replace, human relationships. So in today's conversation, we'll unpack that spark behind the third wave, explore the AI revolution, and look ahead at what's next for property management. So Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, it's amazing to have you finally live on a podcast. And I guess the first thing I want to say is have appreciated this year the opportunity to collaborate with you on that course, because you actually taught me quite a lot.
And vice versa, I learned a lot actually about what we wrote some years ago when you took a different lens to it. And I read it almost for the first time. And I got a lot out of that as well. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was amazing. And we will leave some links to the course in the show notes for anyone who hasn't done it yet or hasn't had a look at it yet. We're going to unpack some of that today, as I said, but we're also going to talk about some of the trends that Ben is seeing in the property management industry. So the first thing I want to ask you is, like, tell us a bit about, for you, when the light bulb went off. When did you realise that the traditional model of property management was perhaps a little bit outdated? And how did that insight then become Alo's third wave mission?
There's lots of moments in that. I'll go back to the very, very first one. And I just joined the industry. It was 2005. At that stage, joined Ray White and took on the role of running the property management division. Went to my very first property management conference. And I remember sitting there and someone was on stage talking about fees. And this person said, I've had this really this innovation in fees. And what this person did was they went through, and I think they were charging back then $2.50 or something a month for what used to be called a statement, or remember, it used to be called postage handling fee or statement fees. And this person said, what we did was we just changed everyone from $2.50 to $5 or whatever the number was 20 years ago. It was probably $1 to $2 or something. And we just changed it. And what we did was we waited for complaints, and five people called and we said, sorry, there must have been a mistake, and we changed it back. And the other 280 people didn't notice and just we paid it. And our revenue went up X percent. And everyone started clapping. And I remember thinking that's crazy. When you talk about, one of the things I didn't come up with the line, I think it was Jeff Bezos or somebody, you got to imagine the customers in the room with you. And I remember thinking at the time, imagine if your landlord was in the room listening to the way you talk about them, and they'd be horrified. And that was just to me a sign of an industry that was struggling with, are we all about us? Are we what I would call internally focused about ourselves, or are we actually in the service economy, in the service business? And I'm absolutely 100% committed to the idea that property management is a service-based industry. And the fundamental question you've got to resolve is, how do you create value for your customers? How you split that with your customers, how much do you earn as a result, and so on, are all important questions with lots of nuance. And two people can disagree reasonably. But I think you have to start with, the job is to create value for your customers. And the customer is not just the investor landlord client. I do believe the customer includes the renter. The tradies are a form of customer as well, and it's a kind of symbiotic relationship, and I think they're arguably this is two-way. In fact, a lot of the relationships are bi-directional in a customer sense. But that to me was the very first one, Sam, on when did I think, oh my God, what is this? Was then. And there's been moments on the way through, and I think that is the starting point of a lot of issues that when you see today, if you actually look at the challenges we face as industry, that's one of the symptoms of it. It's not the cause, but it's a symptom of why we have sometimes struggled to find a permanent and really good solution to some of the challenges.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I've noticed over my years in the industry too, I think, is that sometimes we see a lot of the if it ain't broke, don't fix it, or like mm-hmm. if it's working all right now, let's just roll with it. But it takes a real trailblazer like yourself to go from, okay, these established systems are not going to take us in the future, into recommending like largely an untested model and something that frankly might make people a little bit uncomfortable. Was there any doubt or fear or anything like that going forward in such a significant way?
Early on, if pre-ALO, if I look back on my time, which was a good 10, 15 years pre the ALO business in this industry, what I'm most critical of myself on is that I think sometimes the ideas are easy, but it's the implementing, it's the hard part. And it's, you know, you can go out, the image I have in my mind and the way we talk inside the team is it's easy to stand at the front of a room and lecture people on what to do. And I call that the podium kind of discussion. So you go to a conference, someone's at the front and everyone's got notepads and they're listening to you, taking notes. It's very seductive. You can say anything and you know, and so on. But what, if you really want to make change, it's not about being at the front of the room, it's actually being in the round table and actually helping people implement. And that to me is where ALO, that shift for me from that world to the ALO world was, I wanted to be more in the solution business, not just having a belief that I had the idea. I'm not even saying I had the idea, but I believed I had the idea. And what you really, to make change, you've got to get into it and be part of it and be at the round table. And that is not saying you've got the answer, it's saying, let's talk about the questions. And let's actually develop the tools to help you achieve it. Because there's no point articulating a vision for the future if no one can achieve it. You've got to build that, you know, to mix, I don't know how many metaphors I'm going to mix in this session, but build the bridge to help people get across. And technology plays a role in that. It's not the only role, but there's culture is a huge part of this, and they are related to each other, I believe, very closely. But you've got to have, to me, my biggest shift was recognizing that standing at the podium doesn't deliver change. You've got to be in it and you've got to be part of this building the solution. And that for me was the pivot for me. So your question around, was it hard? The ideas I think are actually quite easy. If you stand back and look at it, most people would agree, yes, we're a service-based industry. Yes, we've got to create value for our customers. That's all true. But the hard bit is they're all in tension because you've got a landlord that wants more service. You've got a renter that has certain needs and expectations. You've got legislation that's always changing. You've got your team that have salary expectations and cultural expectations. All of those things are all in tension. And I believe what's happened over the last 20 years has been they've all become more complex. And to solve those, you've just got to basically businesses have less profit fundamentally. If you look at a P&L from 20 years ago to P&L today, you'll see that everything's more stressed. And as a result of that, it's harder to make money. And that's not healthy. A business needs to make money because the money is the thing that can go back into the team, is the bit that can go back into improving service levels, as well as reward the business owner. So I've never really lost faith with the ideas, but I have had journeys on the way of can you actually achieve it? I've had moments of doubt and moments of excitement and optimism, like everyone, on that. But never on the concepts.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just mentioned your optimism, which has like certainly been refreshing for me in working with you over these last couple of months, because when we speak now at a time when there's been a lot of negativity in the industry about changing legislation and declining margins and things like that, and there you are going, no, I am seriously optimistic about this industry and we've actually got a bright future. So I want to ask you, like, you work with a lot of agencies and you have worked with a lot of agencies over your period. What's one agency that you've worked with that's genuinely surprised you in a good way, and what do they do that perhaps someone that is struggling a bit more or is a bit more negative about the future might have completely missed?
There are some extraordinary businesses that I learn a lot from, and they are remarkable. There's ones that I think really struggle culturally, but there's the ones that surprise me most is when you go in and you speak to the team leader, they can hold two ideas in their mind, a sense of pride on how they run their team, but at the same time, they are open-minded to being better and really want to improve. And having pride and a sense of I want to be better, I think that's hard for a lot of people. You can to have I think some people see if I'm going to be proud, I've got to kind of reject change because how dare you tell me anything that I could maybe improve because I'm really proud of the proud of me and my team. Sometimes when you talk to the big businesses, they're just so good anyway that you know it's a different equation. But the ones in the kind of typical business who can hold those two ideas together. Pride and a sense of, you know what, that is, I could be better with that and I'm really excited about doing it. Let's change everyone. They're the things, they motivate me like you wouldn't believe. They're the ones you walk out of and think, wow, that is the type of place that you'd want to, I'd work in a heartbeat. I'd work for that person 100 times out of 100. Great leadership, sense of humility, but a sense of purpose, pride in what they do. That's addictive. And you can see why that business gets better because there's so much talk in the industry about how to gain landlords, like growth, which we're doing. It's all about growth on landlords, which is obviously hugely important. But there's a twin to that, which is how do you attract and retain team members is just a bigger topic, probably not. There's lots of conferences on growth and lots of books and lots of column inches. You don't read a lot about culture, relatively, but those people that I've described, they are as good at attracting and retaining team members as they are good at attracting landlords. And in fact, I think it's actually the same. I think it's actually the same thing if you go through it. And they're the ones that surprised me the most because you just come across them and they just give off energy like a star. Radiate energy out to everybody.
So one of the big light bulbs for me in talking to you was actually to do with this culture and team piece. And one of the problems that the industry seems to have at the moment is that everyone's bleeding talent. Mm-hmm. And I just want to dig into that because it was a huge light bulb moment for me, and it's something that's in the course about growth, pay structures, all of that sort of thing, because not every property manager's goal is growth, especially if they're not going to be remunerated for it. So let's dig into that a little bit. What are your feelings around the reasons people are bleeding talent, and what are the top agencies doing differently?
There's a couple of things in property management if you stumble across, and I think the root cause of those things are because people have assumed, I'm just going to copy whatever we do on the sales side of the business, we're going to copy and do it in property management. And I think that's how they think. And unfortunately for people, they're two different types of teams and have two different cultures and so on. So you need to be able to run a leaded team appropriate to property management. So what I think has happened in property management a lot has been they haven't really understood that property management is a career and the people in it have ambitions and expectations and so on. And it's not just sit in front of the computer and good luck, get on with it. Which, of course, sales is not like that either. I'm taking almost a cartoonish view of sales. And I don't mean it to be negative. But sales, because of the alignment to commission in sales, there's a much stronger aligning force in sales around commissions than there are in property management. And so when you lose that aligning structure, you've got to do the work for culture. One thing that strikes me the most about property management, it's a very lonely job because if you're in a team with three or four people, that's it. There's not a lot of ability to form professional connections with people outside your own business, typically. So you're learning, your mentorship is going to come from those people, and it's luck or bad luck on how that goes. And I think it's a great tragedy how many people join the industry who'd be wonderful at it and just get paired with the wrong team and they leave. And there's lots of data on that, and you've written a lot about this over the time as well. And just if it doesn't click, there's no real mechanism to improve it. And I think that is, to me, the saddest part about property management overall. It's a very stressful job. It's a very hard job. And there's lots of competing interests. There's never a one way to do something. There's choice. You have to make decisions with uncertain information and all sorts of things. And as a result, very high stress, high turnover, and the pay doesn't necessarily align to performance. And I don't see any reason, if you go through the way the numbers work, there's no reason why property managers who operate effectively shouldn't get paid very well. It's hard to do a national average, but 50% more than people are getting, I think is on the averages, I think is justifiable if you can get the business running well. And if you can align that culture to performance, to service delivery, a lot of teams lose that sense of, I think it's really sad when you see a property manager kind of say, and I know it's sometimes a joke, it is funny in some circumstances, but when they mean it, when they say, you know, the only problem with property management are clients, are landlords or tenants, I think that's a shame because you've lost the point of it. But if you enjoy the service and you enjoy the you enjoy it, and you're committed to the service delivery, so many good things happen in the P&L. There's so much more money available to pay, and there's so much sense of pride and joy. And I love, one of the best things about what I'm doing now is when you speak to a property manager and they say, I just enjoy my job again. That to me is, it's not a, as much as I like the economics, we grew X percent or whatever, the one I love the most is I enjoy my job again. It's fun again. And that to me is, that's the best part of it overall.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about finances, because I'm sure that leaders listening into this will be very close to their hearts. And I kind of want to dig a bit into the third wave a little bit. I've heard that story that you mentioned at the beginning of the episode so many times as well, as that let's just ratchet up the fee. But in the future, beyond the basic service fees, what innovative revenue streams are you thinking that agencies might have that they perhaps haven't considered yet?
So I think the starting point is you look at the fee card today, and there's really two revenue line items fundamentally. It's a fee for collecting rent and a fee for letting a property. That's fundamentally it, and there's some others, of course. If you want to include, we produce a statement every month. They're the three fees. Now, if you look at it today, collecting rent certainly in the newer systems is zero, or essentially zero work. Producing a statement is zero work, and finding a tenant, of course, that's work. That is. So we've got a fee, a sense of how a business generates revenue, disconnected from how it creates value for customers, and that's a problem. And I have one regret. I don't have a lot of regrets, although I've made lots of mistakes. But there's one thing I really wish I could change. Early on in my tenure in franchising, 20 years ago, was just when the smoke alarm legislation was starting to come out. New South Wales just passed the first one. It was one of the first things I remember dealing with. And the question was, everyone was obsessed with this, how do I get my landlords to pay the, back then I think it was $60 fee every year that I've got to pay to the tradie to press the buttons and change the batteries and so on. More complex now, but that's what it was back then. And the question was just, how do I get the fees back? It was almost like we treated that $60 as if it was a strata bill or a land tax bill. It was just, how do I get the bill in the system and make sure they pay it? And I wish I could go back to myself then and say, you've got that fundamentally wrong. Instead of seeing this as another bill that we've got to process, you've got to see this as our agency now is in a new business. That new business is managing the compliance of their properties or their clients' properties. That's a business. And it should not be constrained to the $60 the tradie pays. It should be, we are now coordinating, scheduling, chasing up, all the stuff you do as a property manager. That's a service. And there's a fee, there's a bill as well at the end. But that's an addition to. So instead of being, how do we get the $60 back? It should have actually been, how do we charge $100? Or how do we charge $150? Because it's now a service. How do we lean into the regulation? And one of your questions at the start was regulation. How do you lean into it and say, this is now a business we're in. We're now in the compliance business. And we're going to charge $150. We're going to really do a good job. We're going to do nice reporting and do whatever you got to do. Sure, it costs $60 on the back end, but we're charging $150. And that is approaching with a service mindset. And it's leaning into, you're in a service-based business. And another example is 20 years ago, very rarely did people process bills for landlords back then. It was just not done. But now, send us all your bills and we're basically a property manager and our bookkeeper. But we don't talk about it. We don't create a service out of it. We don't price it. And as a result of that, the landlords do not value it. And we sit there and if you actually look at a time and motion study of a property manager, the work done 20 years ago, which occupied a full day of a property manager, now takes about half a day. And the other half of the day is doing new things. But those new things we have never owned and never lent into and never said, this is a service. Let's wrap it up. Let's lean in and own it. Let's start a bookkeeping service for landlords and charge them. Instead of charging $5 a month for a statement fee, which everyone knows is not connected to value, let's charge $10 a month for a bookkeeping service. Let's charge $15 a month for a compliance service or whatever it might be. And whether you charge it line item but at least you got to talk about it. You've got to talk about, that's the service you're in. How you charge for it's a different thing. You may decide not to charge for it. You may want to wrap it up into a larger fee. There's lots of, it's a kind of a different question. The thing I'm obsessed with at the moment is, what business are you in? And how do you articulate that? And how do you lean into it to make it something you're proud of? And you can articulate value and gain the landlord or the renter or the tradie acknowledgement that you're giving value to them. How you charge for it is kind of part two, but you can't charge for something unless there's value. And that's the key to me, is to get that. That's the future of property management three, kind of wave three. That to me is it's a service-based business, lean into it. I'm not afraid of regulation. I think it's a real challenge, but geez, there's an opportunity there. If you lean into it, there's an opportunity. And if you hide behind and think, how are we going to survive regulation? You end up where we ended up with smoke alarms, which is, as I was saying, my great regret in property management has been smoke alarms. I think if we lent into smoke alarms, we would now be seeing smoke alarms as a profit center for a business, one way or the other, because that's a job you're doing and you're doing it well, and of course you should make money on it. I think it's uncontroversial as a concept. Anyway, that's a bit of a rant, Sam. So, but that to me is what it is. Fundamentally, is knowing what business you're in, and leaning in and really doing a great job of it.
The you just made me think of something then, as pets in rental properties, that would be almost the same, right? Because
100%.
Yeah, instead of saying no to pets, like, why not have a pet cleaning service or a pet gardening service or like
all of it. Think of the business you're in. The most extraordinary thing about property management is it's a physical reality to real estate. And property management's right back physically in the middle of a big logistical problem. Plus, you have everyone's keys. If you actually stood, if you came in from Mars and looked at, said, what type of thing do I want to be in? It'd say, you know what? The home is the most important asset everyone has, whether you're as an owner. It's where people live. It's a lot of economic activity associated with lots of services needed. Who's the one person in all that who's near it, who has a business that services them and has all the keys? Like, you'd think that's the business I want to be in. And that's why I'm so optimistic. I look at it and think this is the crown jewel. It's just we have been holding on to 8% to collect rent and a week's rent to lease, and that's the money, and then everything else we just got to do, but that sucks. What if you flip that and said, pets, we could do a pet, as you say. I don't know what it is, but someone should be thinking about, I'm going to create a service around managing pets.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to make a service around, there's service around the mortgage, of course, is if you talk about opportunity, that's just, for some reason, 25 years of mortgage broking and property management haven't come together and joined, although that's something we are working on, but I'm sure a lot of people are as well. But there's so much connected to the home, and the service you can offer your clients, whether it's around understanding how much a house is worth, understanding all the compliance related issues, the insurance, there's a whole lot of things we're working on which I won't bore you with. But the same on the renter, there's absolutely no reason in the world why you can't have a renter as a customer, and renters have needs, cleaning services. I mean, you have all these tradies. Is there an opportunity around the renter? But you're in the middle of it. And one of my brothers, who is in the loan broking industry, he had a real crisis years ago with the Royal Commission into Financial Services, and mortgage brokers got caught in that. And I remember him saying at the time that with regulation, you can fight it if you want, but the one who wins is the one that accepts it the fastest and leans into it. And it stuck with me. I think it's really insightful, is with all the regulation coming, there will be more regulations. One thing's absolutely certain, it will get quote unquote worse, but it just is. And you can argue it, you can go to the pub and argue with people over it. However, there's an opportunity. If you accept it, there's an opportunity. And people will find it. I don't pretend to know all the answers at all on what the answers are, but I do believe the only way to find the answer is to believe that it's a good thing.
It's possible, yeah.
It's possible, and the ones that will embrace it will thrive. The ones that fight it are still going to be arguing over rent collection fees. Landlords are going to probably start saying, rent collection, I don't know about that. That doesn't seem like a valuable service to me because I've got PayPal or Vimeo or whatever, you know. And that's the challenge and the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another opportunity I see, particularly in your line of business, is technology. So let's nerd out for a bit, if you don't mind. Well, first of all, you run a technology company and you supply technology to the real estate industry. So first of all, like, I just want to know how you're thinking about technology within ALO. So what's an example of technology maybe freeing your team up at the moment to become more human in their client relationships?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. I'm sure every business in the world and every team in the world, and it's true of property management as well as tech, is that there's a natural instinct that you can hide behind an email or you can hide behind a post and that's my job's done because I've communicated. The thing that there's still no substitute, in my opinion, for a conversation, ideally in person, if you can, but if not, at least a phone call, because no matter what you do, there's no substitute for that. That said, technology then has to make you more effective in to have that conversation, is the way I think about it. So it doesn't replace, but it makes does all these things to make that better. One of the challenges we have is around knowledge management internally. You have a big platform, things are always changing. We have customers that maybe missed the email on a new feature got released. Someone internally doesn't know. We spend too much time aligning around what's true and what isn't. That's a big thing for us, and we're starting to work on that, and we think there's opportunity not just internally, we're going to release that as a knowledge management tool more broadly for people. Obviously AI is going to play an enormous part in this moving out. The thing that I think about technology, particularly in relation to the industry, that the way we try and create value, is that historically to solve, if you know, one of the things we've talked about in the past is, you know, you have two landlords. One person says, I pay you all this money for you to never contact me. That's why I pay you. So just do everything. I don't want to know. And you've got another landlord says, I pay you all this money. Why aren't you telling me everything? I want to know everything. And I want to be invited to every routine inspection. I want to approve every work order, approve every bill. That's why I pay you. So you get two people paying the same amount of money, and their perception of value are two totally different things. And as a result, a poor property manager stuck in the middle has to either have a photographic memory and perfect execution to satisfy those two people, which is impossible over any sustained period of time, or technology allows the property managers to do things and the system satisfies the needs of the person. That is, to me, what technology is it allows essentially, whether it's us internally with our customers or our clients with their customers, is it allows a unique experience for each person in a way that doesn't require the service deliver the property manager in that case to give unique service to each person, as in themselves. They just do things and the system handles the personalization. And that to me is what makes the experience better for the user. We try that internally. We're not experts at this yet, but or perfect at it, but we have different clients that want different things from us. They have different expectations of where the value is. We get really excited about one thing, and another client says, I don't value that, but someone else does. And we get all confused as to, I don't understand, how can someone love it and someone hate it? And then we'd laugh and say, well, that's the people and that's what they want, and we need to be better at understanding what they want from us and where they get value from us, just like property managers need to do that as well.
Yeah, it's so true, actually, because I think we're sort of talking a bit about cognitive biases there, because I like a certain method of service, therefore I think everyone else should like the same things I do. Obviously, that's not true. And then there's the messy middle, which we actually dealt with in detail in the course, which is that idea of, yes, you are doing everything for these people, but property managers in witness protection and nobody knows exactly what they're doing because they don't communicate what they're doing at all.
It's hard, and it's I think that's what technology's job fundamentally is, not to replace people at all. It's not to, if you judged, I think ultimately the goal of technology has to be to enable someone delivering a service to satisfy the needs of a disparate group of people without having to run it 1,000 different ways. And that's ultimately how you can satisfy different expectations. And I think historically, property management has just played to the average. You know, the classic is someone wants monthly disbursements, someone wants daily disbursements, so let's just give everyone fortnightly disbursements. And the problem is you've unfortunately created two unhappy people, because the monthly person isn't getting what they wanted and the daily person isn't getting what they wanted. And that is almost worse to do that. When you play kind of the average, no one's average. It's hard. It's hard in the service business. So much thinking, I think, in early waves of property management came out of, the way I think about it, is that a lot of that thinking came out of the manufacturing sector, which is, they kind of imagine, and I was taught this way by some mentors of mine, they say property management is kind of like a production line, like you're building a car. It's just, as it goes through, this station puts the wheels on, and this station puts in the engine, and so on, and it's cookie cutter. Follow the bouncing ball, or it's just like a McDonald's. They're the kind of things people were saying 20 years ago, and you still, oddly enough, I still hear people say it today. I used to believe that. I'm ashamed that I used to believe it. It's such a bad idea. It's there's one idea that has been more destructive to property management than that one. I'd love to meet it, because it is not that. It's absolutely not that. That leads you to, here's our policy procedures manual. Here's, we follow the 7 steps to do a repair. It's just, that's what it is. It's actually a service-based business. And it's like when you go to get a meal, when you walk in, if you go in and say, like, I'd like the hamburger, but can you not have the lettuce? And they say, no, we have the lettuce. That's how we do it. You'd just be thinking, these guys are mad. Like, what are you talking about? And they, you can imagine the chef saying, oh my God, now I've got to have one without lettuce. And how am I going to remember that? And now I need a system. And you can imagine, as any other, it's so easy to see in another service-based industry how crazy that idea is, that it's a production line, because it's not, it's a service. Of course, there's services and production, there's processes, but it's not a production line. It's not manufacturing, to my kind of main point. The old way was a manufacturing mindset. You're producing a widget, and you just got to have the same widget every time. Property management is a service-based business. You've got customers, you've got humans. You've got to be attuned to that, but you need technology to allow you to flex here and there and efficiently. Otherwise, you're going to need, I don't know, a property manager every 20 landlords. That's where it would end if you didn't have technology.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are you thinking about AI with the ALO product? Like, actually, I remember I mistakenly thought ALO started with an AI, so we're looking at an AI first business here, but I know you're thinking about it. How are you thinking about AI to improve the experience for agencies, landlords, and even tenants?
So there's two broad areas. There's actually three. There's one. There's how we do it. How do we build product internally, and how do we do support and so on? That's an internal, which customers won't see. Hopefully, it manifests as better product. But there's a bunch of stuff we do on that side. From a customer-facing wall, there's two areas. One is using AI to certain tools, like we've recently released the ability for generating inspection reports, condition reports, and routines based off photos to compare the outgoing photo with the ingoing photo and highlight this wasn't there a year ago or to whatever it was. That's kind of an AI as a feature, in a sense. Same with reading bills and scheduling certain things, some of which are on the coming and some of which are already released. That's the first wave. And I have in my mind's eye, that's kind of a generative style AI. It kind of generates text or generates an image or generates a work order or something. And that's, we've got that in both in market as well as a long chain of stuff we're working on. But the one that's super interesting to me is the agentic AI. And that's something that I think is going to transform everything, not just property management. I think it's going to transform every industry. And that is the opportunity for us to really help a property manager navigate the competing interests of everyone. And I think the core challenge for me is you've got landlords have a certain set of objectives, say to a repair, renters have a certain set of objectives, tradies have a certain set of objectives, the property manager of course has their objectives, as does the agency. How do you help navigate and automate as much of those steps as possible so that the objectives of each party are met without the property manager having to do all the work in their own name, in their own, with their own brain? You know, they may have their persona may be doing it in a sense, and the client may experience that as the property manager doing work, but it's not the property manager actually typing. I think that'll lead to much higher service levels, productivity gains as well, a lot more enjoyment for the property manager. And I think it's transformative. I think, but what we'll really do is help expand the range of services you can offer. I don't think the goal of AI is to make property management as we know it cheaper, faster, better kind of thing. If you narrowly define property management, if you define property management as the broader definition, which we've talked about in the past, that broader definition of property management I think property management is going to expand. I think AI will cause an expansion of property management's footprint rather than same job but less people. I don't think it's that. I think it's same people doing a broader role. The home, all the services connected with it. The role of a agency, as I was saying earlier, the agency is physically in the location, and how do you maximize that relationship with all your customers? How do you make everyone in your community a customer of your agency is, to me, what property management is. That's property management is everyone's a customer. That's my definition of property management. It's not collect rent and fix things when they break and find a tenant. That, to me, is the narrowest possible definition of property management. The broadest one is everybody in my community, every property, whether it's owned and occupied, rented, vacant, anything, is a customer. And that is what That's it. I think that's property management's job. We're committed to that vision with our AI strategy. Rather than, I know there are others who are thinking, let's just kind of get rid of lots of property managers with AI. I don't see that personally. Doesn't it? That, well, that is, if it's true, I don't want to be part of that. If that's where it's going, I'm not on that bus. If that's what it is.
It's interesting what you say about same amount of people, but the roles becoming broader, because an example of that is I used to write articles and now I'm writing courses with people yourself.
I've seen the amount of content you produce in different modes that historically you would see as different things.
Mm.
And I don't pretend to understand all of it, but it is remarkable how you produce different courses, podcasts, articles, thought leadership pieces. And you also have a community of people as well. And I hadn't thought of that. It's a great insight. That's been different, of course, in property management, but the same idea. It's broadening, but it's kind of the same thing. Because if you define, I'm sure you have in your language, you'd say your role is, you just redefine the role, but you may use the same words. Same with me in property management. I would redefine property management to be, property management is a customer relationship with everyone in your community. It's full stop. That's it.
I feel like we need a really good creative brainstorming session after this.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that would be really cool. Okay, a couple of quick rapid fire questions to kind of wrap this up. But these days, someone mentions faxing a lease to someone. It's like, oh I remember doing that. That was 100 years ago. In 5 years' time, what will we be laughing about in the same way?
I think the idea of email is ridiculous. So I don't think we'll be emailing. I think you'll be in context. I think everything will be in context. This idea, I think the idea is you will be in the context of the thing. To do an open home, I've got to have three windows and go into that to do that and that to do that and that to do that and then copy paste and all that business. That idea of how that worked will be like, you know, you see on TikTok, you know, trying to show the kids what's a CD, and they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You had three like applications to do a thing, or you had like an email over here and you had to remember it, and then you had to go over there and do a thing. I think that all goes, and it's, you're in the context, you just have a view, and that view has everything you need to do your thing is there, whatever that thing is. And so I think that'll be the big one. I'd love to say the idea of a key wall is gone, but I think that is like a 100-year problem, not a. What was your window? 5 or 10 years? Not a 5 or 10 year window. That's a, maybe not 100 years. Maybe it's 50 years. But beyond the thought experiment, that's another crazy idea, that you hold this piece of metal that like goes into something and turns a door. Unfortunately, but that probably stays. But the main one for me is context. You've got to be a knowledge worker. His job is to run across 7 different things and try and remember all the stuff. That won't be true. Knowledge workers will be living in context all the time, and it'll make a lot more sense. It'll be a lot more enjoyable and a lot more fulfilling as a result.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, 10 years from now, if your grandchildren were to Google Ben White Property Management, what headline do you hope comes up?
10 years. Oh, I hope I don't have, maybe I will have grandkids in 10 years.
I'm hoping I don't have grandkids in 10 years. I'm hoping that, you know, like, but 10, 20 years.
Expectation of my daughter. Gee, yeah. She's got some pressure now. What would the grandkids find? What I'd like to be judged on ultimately is effecting change, not an idea. What I would not like it to be is the Google meeting came up with some good ideas. I don't want that. What I want is, I'd rather have, say, had some really amazing ideas. I hope that's not there. I hope it's did pretty good at helping deliver change to a business. So actually the doing part is what I hope it says. I mean, of course, it'd be nice if it was did really well at helping change, but just I would rather take did okay at, you know, made a good effort and made a contribution to change in a business.
You'll never be a journalist.
Yeah, I'm thinking, that's where it is.
I'm thinking transformational thought leader, and you're thinking did okay. That's not clickbait.
Yeah, I'll be judged, or judge myself on, can you merge the idea with the achieving it? I don't want to have just ideas. I want to have. I took in my case, I put Alo in business, and it's different as a result. I've got happier customers. I make more money. My team are getting paid more. They're happier. The property managers feel more fulfilled and go home being a better person at night. When they go back to the family, they're a better person. That to me is what it is. It's not, I read the book and that was really thought provoking. That, I mean, it's fun, but it's not enough because you gotta help a business achieve it. It's a great thrill to be involved. It's very hard to achieve that, but it's every day I wake up full of energy and excited to come into work because that's the mission.
Yeah, amazing. Well, Ben, I would like to thank you for coming on to our podcast to share some of your wisdom. And once again, thank you for the opportunity to work with you on the Third Wave Property Management course. I will leave links in the show notes and everything for that. It's thirdwavepm.eliteagent.education. If you have any interest whatsoever in property management, sign up. The course is free, 5 days, snackable. It'll change the way you think about property management, I promise, because definitely Ben has changed my way or the way that I think about property management as well. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
One final question. So you can't get away that easily. What is the one single thing that you would challenge listeners to do or one single action to take this week to move forward to a third wave service?
Can I give two?
Yeah. I always allow two. Yeah.
One would, it goes to the kind of the same thing. One is to have the courage to ring some of your customers and ask them how you're going. That's one. And not the kind of, and get beyond the, and I think one of the challenges that, you know, you go to a restaurant, you don't like the food, the waiter says, how was the food? You say it was okay, and it was fine, and then you never come back. You've got to get past that, and they know you're not telling the truth because you haven't finished your food, and you know they know, and just it's polite company. Have the courage to have a talk to customers and get past that, get past the it's fine, and actually get to it. That's one. The other one is to talk to your team about, hey, without feeling like we're criticizing ourselves, how can we be better? Find a way culturally to not feel like you're betraying your team by saying, I think we can be better than this. And have that. It's a liberating conversation when you can get through it. It creates a lot of trust. It's not critical. It's not, hey, I don't think you're doing a good job. It's just, how can we be better? And if you can't have that conversation with your team, I believe you have a problem. Because absent that, you will miss every opportunity to get better because you have a system and a culture that organically rejects ideas because it's too threatening to a sense of self-worth. And so if you can't have either of these two conversations, you have a problem. You're too afraid to talk to your customers or your team's afraid of an idea. If you're in there, if you're anywhere in there and you think, if you hear those two ideas and think, geez, I don't want to do either of those two, that I think you have a problem.
Yeah, that is amazing advice. Ben White, thank you so much.
Thank you.